Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Today is Friday, January the 22nd, year 2010, at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Today's topic, Coaching Attention Deficit Disorder and the Need to Understand Human Development. With us today in our virtual studio is Dr. Alan Graham. Before we get into things, I just want to preview a few shows. Next Friday, the 29th, Beth Kaplanik, who is a volunteer with CHAD, Children and Adults Association, she's going to come in and talk about parent-to-parent training, so that's going to be a real exciting show. And the following week, February the 5th, Dr. Sidney Zintaugh, who was one of the keynote speakers at this year's CHAD conference, will be coming in to talk about friendly classroom and home settings to support children with ADD. But enough of that. Again, back to today's topic, Coaching Attention Deficit Disorder and the Need to Understand Human Development. Alan Graham, who's with us, is a consultant, coach, educator, author, and presenter. Alan has over two decades of experience helping thousands of individuals, families, and organizations navigate life's challenges and gain the tools they need to manage personal and professional issues. Uniquely trained in business, education, and psychology, Dr. Graham has taught at all levels of education from the elementary grades through postgraduate courses. He's a professional certified coach, or PCC, certified by the International Coaches Federation. Dr. Graham's executive coaching and consulting experience include contributing to the success of many individuals and organizations such as Deloitte Consulting and Magellan Behavioral Health. With Dr. Bill Benninger, Dr. Graham also created www.addvisor.com, a coaching organization for individuals with ADHD and their families. Recognized for his work by peers and clients alike, he presents and writes on ADHD and business issues throughout the United States. Dr. Graham is married and has three adult children. So welcome today, Dr. Graham.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate you having on the show. Today's show was inspired. I had actually heard you speaking on another teleconference about a couple months ago, and I was fascinated by it. So, and it was centered around coaching those with ADD and the need to understand human development and then understanding normal from abnormal behavior. So I'd like to begin by, tell us about human development, and then if you can, just kind of segue into why it's important to understand.
Sure. Why it's important to understand in the context of when we're coaching people with ADD.
Yep.
Or coaching anyone.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, when we talk about human development, we're talking about it in lots of different areas. You know, there's physical development, there's intellectual and cognitive development, there's personality and social development. And, you know, as we grow, you know, we develop. And certainly everybody got the baby books when we're little kids. You know, when we have little kids, because we see, you know, we walk at 9 months or 12 months, and then we talk, and then we get toilet trained, and then we go off to school. And so we're real familiar with the developmental milestones that we need to pass when we're kids. But we often don't think about that when we're adults, that there are actually developmental milestones that we pass through as adults. So we really need to understand human development across the lifespan, that the attitudes that people and the experiences that people have developmentally between the ages of 20 and 40 are different than between 40 and 65 and 65 and older.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we all go through these stages. It's normal to do that. And so what happens is when we're coaching, particularly people with ADD, what's interesting about the developmental milestones for people with ADD is people with ADD are often 30% behind their same age peers in terms of their development, so, their ability to manage their day-to-day world. So, you know, you could have a 16-year-old who's wants to drive, because that developmentally that's what they do, but they really are behaving like an 11-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and not such a good idea to have them driving. So it's important to understand those kinds of concepts to know when you're dealing with an individual and you're coaching them to know what their true developmental level is. And then as knowing that and knowing what to expect from someone, what you typically expect when something's out of the ordinary, then you know that something else is going on, and that the person, if it's from a personality, social development standpoint, you know, you may need to refer that to have that issue be handled by someone with a, you know, a psychotherapy credential.
Certainly.
Or a medical credential.
Certainly. Just to, for the listeners that are listening, can we, for you talked about the psychological development between, like, you know, the 20 to 40 bracket and the 40-60. Can you articulate a few, like maybe in the 20-40, just to give the listeners a sense of what some of that might look like?
Sure. Well, the developmental issues that a young adult, you know, between 20 to 30 is dealing with is the issues of intimacy versus isolation. This is a time when they've completed the task, hopefully completed the task of adolescence of deciding who they are as people.
Uh-huh.
And then, although, you know, that seems to get backed up as, you know, as generations move on, you know, maybe they're not out of adolescence until they finish college. But then once you've established who you are, that's the time that you establish your close, intimate relationships. So a person in their 20s, middle to late 20s, is really looking to find that life partner that
mm-hmm.
they're going to spend their life with. And understanding for themselves is how much of them they're good and how close they can get to somebody. That's the normal thing that happens with people in their 20s. Now, it could be a life partner, you know, it could be a social network that they get involved in. You know, these are the kinds of things that happen. That sense of belonging and feeling close to somebody is one of those tasks. Then, you know, as the individual grows and they've kind of handled that intimacy phase, then there's kind of like a they move into more of kind of establishing themselves.
Yep.
You know, there's kind of like a search for meaning, kind of, you know, what's the purpose? You know, is there
uh-huh.
a greater purpose? Often, you know, once they've created that intimate relationship, often there are children involved, and
mm-hmm.
so, you know, how are you going to help you know, the task is to raise your children. The task is to establish yourself in your work life or your interests, you know, with hobbies or those kinds of things. And then as you continue to grow and your kids move out and now you reacquaint with your intimate relationships, and you also look, the issue that happens as you get older is what are you going to give to the next generation to help move on,
mm.
you know, help the next generation move on. So there's a kind of a generativity that occurs. When
As you're describing this, I'm trying to put a context around it in my mind, and for whatever reason, some like the old motivational theories, like kind of Maslow's stuff kind of jumps in mind, like it's almost at first you're kind of covering the stuff and you're kind of working your way up the pyramid. Is there any correlation there, or am I misunderstanding that in context?
Well, there is some correlation. Maslow's hierarchy is not necessarily a developmental model, but it's more related to the issues that we as people have to deal with first. So it's kind of a hierarchy of needs. So, you know, at the base, you know, we have to establish the fact that we can take care of ourselves physically, that we have enough food
yep,
and water
yep.
and shelter. And then as we move up, our needs, we build up, you know, we build relationships,
yep.
et cetera, and up till the top, then we become self-actualized.
Yeah, and I wasn't meaning to, you had a good point there. I wasn't meaning to say it was one of those. I was just kind of using it as kind of a metaphor to kind of think of, because you move through that stage a lot, you kind of start moving up the pyramid a little bit. In a separate kind of way, just to kind of think of the context as how things change over your normal course of development.
Sure.
So, When you're working, or when somebody's working with somebody who has ADD, what should they expect in terms of ADD and where they would be in this normal development?
Well, that's actually very interesting because Russell Barkley and I think it was Kevin Murphy is his name. They did a longitudinal study of people. They started working with them when they were kids, and they worked with them up until I think age 30.
Mm-hmm.
And even beyond, and this is where they came up with that notion that people with ADD tend to be 30% behind their same age peers. But what they found was that once when they hit 30, and which means that development they were like 21, they tend mm-hmm. to level out. So they suggest that when you're working with someone with ADD, they're kind of as an adult they're perennially 21 years old.
So they mature to that level, and after that they'll continue to kind of flatten out and still be exhibiting some of the developmental types things of somebody in their 20s?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, certainly when you think about it that way, at age 21, so then the notion of creating those intimate relationships can be really hard for someone with ADD because, you know, how do they maintain the continuity in a relationship and create that closeness? So that's certainly one of the tasks that an adult ADDer has to struggle with.
Interesting. So, in the context of human behavior, when I had heard you talking before, you were talking about like normal and abnormal behavior. How do we overlay that on top of this and understand it in the context of what's normal or abnormal, or when is it an issue or not an issue?
Well, you know, I think that if you're coaching someone and they're ADD and they're experiencing difficulties and you can attribute their developmental difficulties to what's happening in ADD, then I think at that point, you know, you can keep working with them because you're focused on the ADD piece of it. But
mm-hmm.
sometimes there are some of these developmental milestones, you know, of emotional development and managing their world. Maybe something that is creating emotional upheaval in the individual, and maybe there are levels
mm-hmm.
of depression that are getting in there, or that,
mm-hmm.
that somehow their thinking is getting distorted, or something of that sort. That you see that they're not dealing with the issues that they ought to be dealing with at this point, and
mm-hmm.
and so it's at that point that you know the coach really needs to help their coachee get some help for that particular issue, whether it be medical, whether it be psychological, it could be legal
uh-huh.
for that matter.
Uh-huh.
So it really becomes important for the ADD coach to know when they need to refer something out that it's beyond the expertise of the ADD coach to do it. And having that sense of what appropriate human development is helps you to see when things don't fit into that spot.
So, interesting. So by becoming more conscious of human development and kind of looking at somebody and saying, where are they along this thing, you can the idea is to start to notice, well, wait a second, this is starting to get kind of out of the realms because they're not developed along where they necessarily should be. It's becoming a problem, and this is the time that I really – it's not really as much a coaching. They just need help in these other areas.
Yes, that's right.
Hmm. One of the things that I remember you talking about last time I speak is important ingredients to understand about abnormal behavior. They were dealing with intensity, frequency, and kind of duration. Can you speak to some of that a little bit?
Yes. Yes. So those three items, intensity, duration, and frequency, is that when you come across something that is out of whack, that doesn't seem to fit into the ADHD paradigm we're working with or the appropriate development, the way you can help to make a determination about how it's impacting on the person's life is to look at the intensity of the experience. So certainly if someone has a, quote, nervous breakdown and totally falls apart and they can't function, they can't, you know, they're not going to work, they're staying in their room, they're keeping it black, they're not talking to anybody, et cetera, that's clearly a very intense experience.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly if you have a coachee that's doing that, you know that they need intervention immediately because
mm-hmm.
the intensity of the experience is so strong. Secondarily, suppose that they have these dips in emotion, where they have periods of depression where they're you know, it's not as severe as locking themselves in their room and not getting out of bed, but you know they're feeling not much energy for work. They're not going out as much. They're not talking to their friends as much. And this happens, you know, for a couple of weeks at a time on a monthly
yep.
basis.
Uh-huh.
You know, it happens once. You may not have to deal with it. It happens twice. Maybe you start talking about it in coaching, but then it happens a third time. And then, you know, the frequency of it, it's coming so frequently that you're saying this may be past what we can really do in the coaching relationship and really needs to be further explored, either from a medical or a psychological standpoint. So that is frequency. And then the last one is duration. So suppose a person starts to have some of these depressive symptoms. They may not, again, they're not as severe as the ones we talked about at the beginning as far as intensity is concerned, but they start and they don't remit. And a month goes by and 2 months go by and they're still feeling the same way. And the coaching doesn't seem to have an impact. That's what we talk about duration, that it's impacting their life to a point where they can't manage. So those are the three kind of parameters to look at when you're assessing whether something is really impacting an individual that is beyond the coaching realm.
Certainly, there is. As you talk through these, it is. I can, as you explain it, it really makes all the sense in the world. But when I'm working with adults that have ADD, you know, it's interesting because it's sometimes I think it's they're a little bit of. They tend to be a little bit of extreme. They have, like, things go good, sometimes they go bad, and they kind of fluctuate kind of back and forth. So sometimes, and they do have some very intense emotions many times, which many times I find to be kind of characteristics of those that have ADD. But I think what you're saying is also understanding normal human development and kind of normal ADD development, and you're really kind of, and help me if I'm misunderstanding, you're kind of gauging this off of what you're kind of accustomed to seeing. So really, there can be some increased frequency or maybe intensity just with those that have ADD, but if it's different for this particular situation, starts to move away, then that's a real marker that there's something that's bigger here and needs
yes.
to be referred out.
Yeah, I would. Yes, that would be it. Yeah, certainly, you know, the ability to manage mood is one of those issues that occurs to someone with ADD that happens on a regular basis. So, you know, for that individual where mood is always been an issue and it's related to the ADD, it may not be, you know, the issue for you may be, does it become so intense at some point that it's something that's beyond what you can really work with? I mean, because if they have such an intense reaction that their world starts to fall apart, you know, if they're not seeing a psychiatrist or seeing a medical doctor for medications, they ought to be.
So, kind of, I think. So, if these are kind of coming up and inhibiting their ability to move forward and do some stuff, then that's a real marker that there's an issue here, and it's time to go help that person articulate and go find the right person to help them deal with it.
Exactly.
I tell you what, I'd like to move for a commercial break. And come back and talk about maybe some situations that you've dealt with yourself to kind of delineate these two. But before we do, we go to break, can you let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you if they've got any questions or want to find out about your services?
Sure. Well, as you said at the top of the hour, that my website is www.advisor.com with two D's, ADDVISOR. My email address is Alan, Alan, at advisor.com, ADDVISOR.com. And if you want to reach me by phone, you can reach my office at 847-824-1235. You press 4, and that will get my extension. I'm in Park Ridge, Illinois.
All right. Everybody, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. When you're stuck, what do you pay attention to? If you're paying attention to the same logic or level of thinking that created the problem, maybe you need to pay attention to something else. Dick Coaching excavates outcomes by paying attention to what you pay attention to. After all, if you're paying attention to the wrong thing, you're likely paying attention to the wrong solution. To learn more about finding your obvious solution, go to digcoaching.com and download the free audio file, Finding the Obvious Solutions When They Aren't So Obvious. Don't delay, do it today.
If you have a topic that you want covered or question answered, just email us at info@digcoaching.com.
Be part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409. And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. I have Dr. Alan Graham on the phone today, and we're talking about coaching attention deficit disorder and the need to understand human development. While we were on break, Alan, I was reflecting back the last time I talked to you, and I remember one of the things that you had said as a coach. It was really it really kind of took the pressure off this. We don't really need to know a lot about disorders. We just really need to know the difference between what's normal and what's abnormal.
Yep, I agree. I think that's true. You know, the way I liken it to a teacher, because teachers, you know, when they're teaching their kids in school, they see more kids, normal kids, than anyone else in the world, because they've got them for, you know, 20, 25 kids
yep.
for a year, and then the next year they have another 25 kids. So they know what is normal, what to expect. So then they know when some kid is not in that, quote, normal mode. And so and they can identify it. What happens is they're not trained to know what ADD is. They're not trained to know what bipolar disorder is or depression or any of those things. They just know that it doesn't fit the mold. So
mm-hmm.
at that point, they make the determination to refer them for, you know, whether, you know, whatever the avenues they have to refer.
Uh-huh.
I think the same thing stands for working in coaching, that we, as coaches, we're trained to help move people forward on their goals and to help them take action and to reach success in that way. And so the assumption there is that the answers are within the individual. They
mm-hmm.
can, all they need as a coach, is we need to help them access that and help them to move forward.
Yep. But
sometimes that process is interrupted for some kind of reason. And we may be working at it, and we see it keeps getting interrupted. It's important for us to recognize that at that point, that something is not following the path that it ought to be. So we don't need to know why it's not working.
Just need to know that it's not.
And then we refer to somebody who then has the expertise to make the determination of what that might be.
It was very powerful for me to hear you say that, because as a ADD coach myself, I'm interested in having an idea of what some stuff out there. But over the years, I've kind of on purpose tried not to become. I don't mean this come like not to get too in depth in some other things for the sheer purpose. I kind of want to be ignorant in those areas because I don't want to misrepresent what I think is any kind of knowledge. And it's just nice to know. All I really have to know is be able to understand abnormal from normal behaviors relates to the person I'm going, because at the moment something doesn't seem to be right. That's my signal. Hey, working with the client and just kind of help them articulate what's going on, help them go seek some stuff. And at that point in time, really, I've done what I need to do.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking about that, the other thing that I'm thinking about that often we're confronted as ADD coaches is we're working with someone with ADD and they're being medicated. Well, there can be side effects to medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so certainly if we're working with a client who's medicated and they're starting to exhibit stuff that, again, sounds like it's out of the norm, it could be a medication side effect. We don't have to know that. We
yep.
don't have to know what the side effects are. You know, it's nice to know, have some general idea, but we don't have to be able to pinpoint and say, oh, that's definitely a side effect of your medication. But if it sounds kind of that it could be, because we kind of have some awareness, we say, you need to go back to your prescribing physician and tell him that or her that.
Yeah, I was working with a gentleman not too long ago, and he was just kind of talking to me like he was doing these things. He says, I feel like I'm getting psychotic and blah, blah, blah. And I said, what I'm hearing you say is that you had some med changes and you're starting to notice your behavior is giving you some anxiety. What's that like? And the guy goes, well, you know, it's really kind of scary. I said, well, what's it like for you to go back to talk to your doctor about it?
Yeah.
And in that situation, I think where I was dealing with it is I was just mirroring back what was going on and asking him if it feels abnormal to him or something wrong, and then just ask him, what would it be like to go talk to your physician about this? And at that point in time, he's like, yeah, I think I need to go do it. So it was great because he was at choice, but even he saw that something was not here himself.
And I think that we as coaches, I think it's very powerful for us to help empower our clients that if there's something going on and they have a sense that something's not right, to help them feel good about going to get the help that they need.
Alan, we got about 4 minutes left. It just kind of occurred to me that a lot of times those with ADD, I've worked with some adults that were diagnosed like later in life, in their 40s, and like, you know, they were casted correctly or something kind of changed, and all of a sudden they're kind of overwhelmed, and all of a sudden they have this overwhelming feeling like they're abnormal in total.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I want to talk to that for a second, because it doesn't mean – the issue really is it affecting your life? Is it affecting your ability to kind of move forward? And coaching many times is there just to really kind of help, like, kind of pause and pay attention to what works. So that can actually move you forward. It's not that you just have AD. We're just talking about abnormal stuff in terms of – in relation to human development, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, I think the coaching is definitely – appropriate piece, and you have someone who's been diagnosed late in life, one of the issues that I think coaching is very relevant towards is to help them to sort out, now that they've gotten a diagnosis, is to help them sort out what about them is ADD and what about them is really their personality.
Mm.
So, you know, often they may kind of, you know, with the old book title, you mean they're not dumb, lazy, or crazy?
Yep.
You know, often when an adult has been diagnosed with ADD, they've kind of have this sense of who they are, is that they're these dumb, crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
When the reality is they're not. The reality is that ADD has so impacted their life over time that they have defined themselves as that. So part of what I often see in coaching these kind of people is helping them to sort out who they are.
Mm. Well, one of the purposes of Attention Talk Radio is really to kind of help people pay attention to things a little bit differently, because it's in the moment that you pay attention differently, many times they can find some solutions. And I akin it to even kind of like the commercial break, help people find their obvious solutions when they're not so obvious. And a lot of times it's really kind of come in and let's pay attention to who you are and let's pay attention to what works, because if they haven't been paying attention to that, or commonly I work with people that they're paying attention to who everybody wants them to be, and they're not really paying attention to who they necessarily are. It's in the moment that they pay attention to what works for them that all of a sudden they start to move forward, and it has nothing to do with AD or anything else. It's just they're paying attention to the right thing at that point in time.
I know, isn't that awesome? I love when that happens.
It's a lot of funny. I have a program I'm piloting right now, and I had somebody the other day, and we talked about this person. She was very much a verbal processor, and she kind of clammed up when she was with everybody because she felt that she kind of talked all the time and kind of stuff. And when the moment that she started recognizing that's how she naturally does it, we talked about how she could kind of ask permission to do it. She was like liberated, like, wow, this is easy now. And it was really just changing what she paid attention to, from changing what she was trying to be as opposed to, hey, this is who I am, this is how I work, and then just working within those parameters. So,
yeah.
Those are those moments in coaching where it's you hear the aha on the other side and it all changes. They don't change. Their behavior changes really because they just paid attention to how they do it, so they do it the easy way.
Exactly. Yeah, that's more consistent with who they are as a person, and it feels right.
And as a point, I guess I'm a little bit of a role, but I was actually writing a newsletter the other day, and I was kind of sitting down, can you really change yourself? And I'm like, well, you can't change yourself, but you can change what you pay attention to.
And isn't that what change is all about?
And it looks like change. Like, I mean, I use this analogy. Like, imagine if you were born left-handed and you spent your whole life paying attention to your right-handed. And then in a moment you say, well, wait a second, if I'm left-handed, you pay attention to it. You might try right left-handed, but you were who you were. It didn't change. It just changed what you were paying attention to, so your behavior changed.
Right.
So,
And some people might say that, well, that's change.
Well, you're right. They might, because it does look like change. But I always emphasize that I can't change anybody, but we can change what you pay attention to be more who you really are, as opposed to who you think you should be. So,
right, which I think is the goal.
We got about 30 seconds to go. So, can you let our listeners know how they can be in contact with you if they got any questions?
Sure, they can go to my website www.advisor.com. That's AdvisorDISOR.com. Or my email is Alan, A-L-A-N, at Advisor.com. And my phone number in Park Ridge is 847-824-1235, extension 4.
Alan, again, I'd like to thank you very much for having you on the show today. I appreciate your time, and I hope that everybody out there enjoys it. Everybody have a great week.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care.